Can everybody hear me out there? Like, I really need this mic. I'm one of those loud, obnoxious Americans that you all heard about. I normally don't need a mic here. It's absolutely a pleasure to be here in Copenhagen. I'm here with my lovely wife, Valeria Bezenti. Let's all give her a big hand. I have the absolute honor of being taped from all around the world. Copenhagen is absolutely very, it's a beautiful place here. And this is the first time I think I've had the pleasure of bringing my wife. So she's going to make sure that I stay honest, that I don't exaggerate too much. But everybody has heard about her on these CDs that are placed on the internet now of me. And they're all wondering who she is. And she's going to tell you about the Al-Anon part of the Alcoholics Anonymous program. As you know, Alcoholics Anonymous started in 1935, June 1st. And then all the other 200 12-step programs in the world have come off our 12 steps. Narcotics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous. We can go anonymous over anonymous. But what I'm going to teach you today is the way the original founders, Dr. Bob from Akron, Ohio, and Bill Wilson from New York City, how they came about this program and how they used to work it and how they used to sponsor people. So what I'm doing right now is I am showing 200 people here on how to sponsor sponsees. So there's no thought pattern. Just try this. I'm going to show you an easy method out of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous on how they used to do it. Do you know that there used to be a 75% one-year sobriety rate? That means out of 100 people, 75 of them would stay sober for a year. Do you know what that number is right now? Does anybody know? That's right. It's about 8 to 13%. So what happened? And in my studies, I found out that what we have today that we call Alcoholics Anonymous is nothing compared to what it was like from 1935 to 1945. Nothing. It's totally different. You hear all kinds of sayings, meeting makers make it. Well, they had one meeting a week back in the 30s and the 40s, one meeting every week.
2 seconds.
How many need worksheets? Raise your hand, I'm going to print some more.
Who was that man? Was that the drunk off the street? I saw somebody. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to come up on stage? How about if I just sit down here for? Is this the way we work in Copenhagen? No, I'm kidding. Just a little joke. It's American humor. We're going to have a lot of that today. I hope you enjoy laughing. All right? We like laughing here. You know, rumor has it around the country and around the world that the Scandinavians are very serious people. I've found you very loving and very giving and fun. And so that's what we're going to do here today. I'll tell you what. If I was in this program of Alcoholics Anonymous and I had to trudge the road of happy destiny, I would drink. I mean, why do I want to trudge anything? I was trudging when I was drinking. That's trudging, right? You're drinking, you're getting up, you're going to work, you're like, oh my God. You know, these beautiful days. How many of these beautiful days have we missed? Drunk or drugged up? Just like, oh, will you tune down that sun a little bit? It's killing me over here. All right? So back to where we were. 75% of the people that came in got sober. Got sober. That's amazing, isn't it? We're 8 to 13%. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. When I sit in a meeting and I hear people with 30 years sobriety saying, just don't drink, go to meetings. Oh my God. I tried that for 90 days. I almost put a bullet in my head. I said, is this it? Well, yeah, that's it. We did step one, admitted I was powerless over alcohol. That was it. That's as far as I got. There was so much more that I needed to do to see the light, to help others. So what we're going to do today, how many people here are working out of an English-speaking book? Okay. How many are working out of the Danish book? Okay. We got a lot. You want to do it? All right. What we're going to do is we're going to do a translation of pages for you. Okay? Because the English book, the fourth edition, and the Danish book, the pages are off. So what we're going to do is I have my lovely assistant here. So, in America we call him Pele. Your actual name is Pele's fine. Okay, so my lovely assistant Pele over here. This is really about the 12 steps, folks. I swear to God, it's not a comedy hour over here. He's going to translate for me and help me here. So the first thing I would like everybody to do is I would like everybody to open up their big books. Okay. I'm working from a third edition, so my page numbers are a little different than yours in the fourth edition, and we'll write down the difference. Only until we get to the numbered ones, then we're going to be good. I'm going to bring you through this book, and I want you to highlight the areas I tell you to highlight. Why? It's because it's the meat and the potatoes and the history of the big book. Things I tell you here today, and you're going to read in the big book, you're going to be like, oh my God. Why do they say that in meetings then? Why don't they do this? I've brought people through this book who have relapsed time after time after time after time. And then when I bring them through the book, they say to me with tears in their eyes, why has no one shown me this? Don't get mad. I beg of you today not to get mad at those who are blinded to the truth. They just don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Correct? Now, when you leave here today and you don't do it, shame on you. Okay? Because this, now you know, and you're choosing not to, which is fine. We all make choices in life. Okay? So I want everybody to open up to the very first page where it says Alcoholics Anonymous. The very first page where it says Alcoholics Anonymous. Right there. Got it? Now, what used to be, was there was a circle and a triangle on that page. Do you know why there's not a circle and a triangle now? Because what happened was, in Michigan or Minnesota, somewhere in the United States, somebody was making pillowcases using the circle and the triangle. So we had two things we could do. Number one, sue them, because Bill Wilson did a thing in the United States called trademark. That means we of Alcoholics Anonymous own this. Or, since our traditions tell us that we have no outside issues, we could not sue them, we gave it up. That's it. We just gave it up. Let them make pillowcases and blankets and whatever they wanted to make with it. Does everybody know how this works? I, when I first came in here, used to think it was just a pretty medallion. Heck, they got them downstairs. You see them? These little necklaces are beautiful. You got these little stuff. It actually means something. And this is what it means. I was told this. I'm going to use a word that you don't hear in Alcoholics Anonymous. The word permanent recovery. Forever. Ooh. Okay? You can't say that. You say that in the United States and it's like it stops the meeting. Permanent recovery. It's mentioned twice in the big book. When they wrote this book, the founding fathers and one sister, they knew they were in this forever. This is it. This circle represents the universe. It's not like we made this up. All right, this was made before Christ and the Buddhists. They believe in mind, body, and soul. Have you all heard of that? Mind, body, and soul. If that is all tranquil, then we are all equal with the universe and we have a beautiful, flowing life. Okay? What we decided to do, Bill Wilson being the businessman that he was from Wall Street, New York City, he says, well, if we have recovery, unity, and AA, if the alcoholic works the recovery program like this, he will never drink again. Because he will be safe and protected in the middle of the triangle by God. Okay? So what does this mean? Recovery. I want you to draw this in your book. Recovery. The 12 steps. It's the 12 steps. The unity are the meetings. AA is the service work that everybody is doing here. Okay? It says in chapter 5 of the big book, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. The word rarely, they mean that. Rarely did they back then. Nowadays, rarely have I seen anyone succeed. Everyone's relapsing. And then they come into these pro... Give me a hug. You needed that. You don't need that. It could kill you, you know? It's like, okay, this bullet won't kill me this time. Okay, let's try it again. Playing Russian roulette with your life. The 12 steps. I'm going to show you how I work the 12 steps daily in my life today through this. Okay? I go to a minimum of two, this is just me, meetings a week, but I sponsor people through the steps one-on-one on a Saturday in my house in Florida. I sit there, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. You know, sometimes I hear, and I got a stinking drunk at the door. I'm like, woo, come on in. And I'll bring them through the steps. That's what I do. That is what I believe my life is to give back. Whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in front of 200 beautiful Denmarkian people. And you are a good-looking crowd. Let me tell you that. And accept that compliment well. We're going to learn that today. Meetings, okay? Meetings. Two meetings a week. That's just me. And then service work. I have a home group. And my home group is in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yes, I take a plane every second week, every second Thursday of the month. I fly up. I go to my home group. I stay there for the weekend because I love my home group. All right? So I have a home group. Rarely have I seen a person fail who has done this on a weekly basis. Rarely. Okay? What happens? What happens? We start feeling good. And what happens? Forget about this, right? Also, what happens is this. We are substituting the meetings for the program of recovery. We are substituting the meetings. So we're just going to meetings. So I'm counting on you humans to keep me sober. It is not going to happen. How has it worked so far? Well, we're down to 8 to 13% sobriety ratio. It will not work, folks. I am telling you that now. Go to God. Okay, that's the deal. And this is coming from an atheist. I used to be an atheist when I first came in here. That is nice. Okay. They're bringing down the house. Right, honey? Am I doing good up here so far? Oh, thank you. 7 years, we're still on our honeymoon. All right? And I'll tell you how that happened. I will tell you how that happened. Okay? This is the circle and the triangle. All right, I want everybody to turn to the table of contents. The table of contents. It's on V for you. The table of contents on page V or page 5 in Roman numeral numbers. Now, I've been asked 1,000 times. This is my email account, by the way. If you would like to email me at dmuir01@gmail.com. Yes, that's right. Demure. I feel like I'm doing a sales pitch up here. And if you don't think this isn't a sales pitch, then you're missing the point. Because it is a sales pitch. Table of contents. I want everybody... You can tell I use my book a little bit. I want you to box in like this. From the preface to chapter 3. That is step 1. That's the way I want it to look. Okay? So box it in from the preface to chapter 3. That's where step 1 is in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. All right? Got that? Okay. All right. We're in the table of content. Everybody in the table of content? Do you see where it says preface? Do you see where it says chapter 3, the number 3? Everybody see that? Okay. I want you to put just a line like this, saying that's where step 1 is. Okay? These chapters are step 1. Got it? Valeria, you're going to need to go around and start helping some people. Okay? Number 4 is step 2. That's where step two is. We, the agnostics, is where step two is. Okay? Steps, chapters 5, 6, and 7, we box it in like that. And that's where steps 3 through 12 are. Steps 3 through 12 are in chapters 5 through 7. Okay? Is everybody following me? Okay. Now, chapters 8 through 11. They did not have Al-Anon back then. They didn't have Al-Anon. So if you look at steps 8 through 11, those are really the Al-Anon pages. It tells the wives how to deal with an alcoholic. It tells the family how to deal with an alcoholic. It tells the employer how to deal with an alcoholic. Okay? And then the last, in my favorite chapter, 11, is a vision for you. Folks, when I start a company in the United States, the first thing I do is I come up with a vision of how the company is. I start at the end, and then I work my way back to the present moment. That's what they did here. They are giving us a vision on what your life's going to be like sober. And it's a beautiful vision. And if you have not read it, I beg of you to read it. It's a vision for you, for you. All right? Are we good? All right. I want everybody to turn to the preface, XI. The preface is XI in the third edition, and in the Denmark book it is, here he goes, ready? Here we go. Nice. 12. Okay, it's XI. All right. I want everybody to go to the second paragraph. A paragraph in the big book is one where there's an indentation. Okay, so you'll get writing and then you'll have writing over here. The one that's indented is considered a paragraph. Fair enough? I want you to go to the second paragraph. And I want you to highlight this with your highlighter. You ready? Here we go. Because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large number of alcoholics, men and women, to recovery, there exists a sentiment against any radical changes. What's a textbook? I want you to circle the word textbook. What's a textbook? A textbook is something that needs to be taught, right? It needs to be taught. Why would I tell you, take home this book and read it and tell me what you think? It'd be like me saying, I'm a retired airline pilot from one of the airlines in the United States. It'd be like me giving you a 747 flight manual saying, go home and study this and tell me what you think about it in 30 days. And then all of a sudden you come back and I say, okay, let's spark this thing up and fly to Denmark. You'd look at me like, are you crazy? It's the same thing. When I first got sober, I was in one of those funny farms, you know, with the padded rooms and stuff. And I had a guy who said, take this book and read it. I read it. I read it that night. I had nothing else to do. I was locked up in a padded room. I read the book, and I called the guy the next day, and I said, listen, the book was written very poorly, and this guy, Bill, he's a loser. I don't drink anything like this guy. He's a loser. All right, that's what I thought from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Then I had a sponsor, like me, bring me through the book, like I'm bringing you through the book, page by page, like a textbook, explaining to me how this textbook worked. And then he said, you must do likewise with others. And I have. And I do it on a little grander scale nowadays. All right? I want you to turn to the next page. The next page. It's called XII, XII. You got yours? Right here. You want to come sit over here? The next page, the preface, XII. Okay. I want you to go to the first paragraph. It says, all changes made over the years in the big book. Circle the word big book. Do you know why we call it a big book? There's two things we did. When we started this, when I say we, I mean you too, the Alcoholics in this place. When we started this, we were broke. We had no money. So they had a deal on paper in New York, and the paper was very thick. And we also had a deal on the color. So we made the jacket of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous red and yellow instead of blue like it is now. It was red and it was ugly. But the book is about this big. It's about that thick. It's huge. So we call it the Big Book. But only one group could afford a book, because back then it was $3.25 in 1935. That would be like, I don't know, $200 nowadays, which is 600, 700, 800 kronens. Okay? So that's why they call it the Big Book. I want you to go to the next page, XIII. XIII. Forward to the first edition. Are you ready for this? I want you to go to the first paragraph and highlight. It says, we, meaning the first 100 people of Alcoholics Anonymous, are more than 100 men and women who have, let's look at that word, recovered. That is a past tense. That means it's all over. It's done. You're recovered. And I'll tell you the difference between recovered and cured. From a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, to show other alcoholics precisely, exactly, how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. If the main purpose of this book is to show you exactly, precisely how we have recovered, why should we go anywhere else? That means the answers are right here. Okay? When they talk about mind and body, how many people, mind and body? They're talking about the mind obsession. How many people here would get a hangover? Oh my God. And you'd wake up and you'd go to work and you'd be there at work like this. Just like that. I mean, falling back. And you swore to God you weren't going to drink that day. I mean, if we hooked you up to a lie detector test, you'd pass it. I'm not going to drink today. I swear to God, I'm not going to drink today. And then all of a sudden, 1 o'clock comes along and you're like, maybe I was a little too tough on myself, right? I'll have one drink. And then 4 o'clock comes along and he's like, hey, where are we going for happy hour? Right? And then before you know it, all you're doing is thinking about the drink, the drink, the drink, the drink, right? The mind obsession. If you have that, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Because my wife didn't have that. She doesn't have that. And I haven't shown her the secret handshake that we all know. Make sure you don't tell her. She still thinks it's a secret handshake. Okay. What happens when we put the alcohol in our body? We get the craving. It makes it virtually impossible for us to stop. A doctor from South Miami Hospital, which was the funny farm that I went to, showed it to me like this. He says, when a non-alcoholic drinks, like my wife, this is her, right? She's from Rome, Italy, so of course she has to have her wine. So this is it at night. She has a 4-step process that happens. It comes in as alcohol. Comes in as alcohol to her body. Follow me? It turns into a thing we call formaldehyde. Formaldehyde is a poison. So when it hits her body, the mind says, boop, stop drinking. So she leaves a half a glass of wine. Does anybody understand that? We've been together 7 years and I'm still like, well, are you gonna, honey, are you gonna finish that? Turns into formaldehyde. Then it goes into its substance of barley and hops, of how it was made. And then it goes to H2O, and she goes to the bathroom. She stops. She leaves a half a glass of wine. Whatever. That's her problem. She has to deal with that. How many people have heard, you've crossed the line? You have crossed the line? You're way out of control. Oh, I heard that one. We literally have crossed the line. What happens is it comes in as alcohol. It turns to formaldehyde. Our shutoff button says, man, if one is good, 20 is phenomenal. Right? So let's kick it up a notch. What happens is we have a gene in our mind that is producing a codeine-like substance. And that's why we get the more, the more, the more, the more. And has anyone done any stupid, like, try to stop in the middle of a drinking? You're better than I. It turns to codeine, gives you the more, 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 and we just drink it to oblivion. And then we wake up in the morning thinking, golly, what happened? I thought I wasn't going to drink. Mind obsession, body craving. Once you have crossed this line, you can never come back. As it says in the big book, we're like people who've lost their legs. We can never grow them back. Okay? You got this? All right. Mind obsession, body craving. I want you to turn to the next page, XIV. XIV. And I want you to, at the top of the page, on the second line down, it says, the only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. Is an honest desire. If you don't have an honest desire to stop drinking, welcome, okay? Because we are loving towards all. But please don't sponsor somebody. You're going to kill them. That's what happened. We were infiltrated in Alcoholics Anonymous by non-alcoholics. And it all started with the court systems in America. You'd have Uncle Fanny, who was married to Aunt Farmer, and then all of a sudden, Aunt Farmer dies. Uncle Fanny is devastated, so he starts drinking a little bit too much, but he's not an alcoholic, and he gets a driving while intoxicated. So now he's standing in front of the judge, his kids are behind him, and he says, the judge goes, you go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And now this guy comes into the rooms, and me, who is the real deal alcoholic on page 21, as I'll show you, comes up to him because he sounds so good. He looks so good. I'm like, help me. And he says, take your time doing the steps. And I'm pointing at this young man because that's what happened to him right now. And we're going to do the steps with him this afternoon. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me because I'm going to go out and I'm going to drink again. Because I did not get the spiritual awakening that's sufficient enough for me to stay sober. And then what happens? I come back in and he gives me a hug. You needed that. Oh, okay, how about that beating I got in the bar from that guy? Did I need that also? Do you see what I mean? That's what happens. That's why I don't allow hard drinkers in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm like, please join us. Hang out if you want. But you're not an alcoholic, so don't sponsor people. You're going to hurt them. You're going to kill them. We do have the power to kill. I want you to open up to the forward to the second edition. Forward to the second edition. The first paragraph. Third sentence, the first paragraph, third sentence says this, highlight it, that every alcoholic who journeys will find the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous at his destination. Folks, let's make one thing perfectly clear here. There's two parts to Alcoholics Anonymous. There is the fellowship, which I absolutely love, and it's you. But you will not keep me sober. You're human, you're great, but you will not keep me sober. The fellowship is the meetings. Meetings, okay? Then there is the program of recovery, which is the 12 steps. This is what happened. This is why we have so many relapses. Everyone's working this fellowship. They're not drinking, going to meetings, looking good, right? Then the first bad thing happens in their life and woo, they're out to the races, drinking and drugging. The program of recovery, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous will take you to your God, okay? By practicing these principles in all our affairs of the 12 steps, you will be relieved from alcohol. You will be relieved from drugs. That has been my experience for 13 years. No matter how bad it gets, you will not drink or drug again. When we just do one without the other, you're done. It's not going to work. Okay? That's the fellowship. I want everyone to understand that. I want everybody to turn to page XVI. XVI. Okay. The first paragraph states that prior to his journey to Akron. That's Bill Wilson they're talking about when he went to Akron, Ohio. That's when he met Dr. Bob. Prior to his Akron, the broker, which is Bill Wilson, had worked hard with many alcoholics on the theory that only an alcoholic can help an alcoholic. Okay? How many people, and you don't have to raise your hand, folks. How many people here have been to psychiatrists, psychologists? They're taking all this medication, right? I have no problem with that. But all it is dried drunk. Okay? I'm depressed. Oh, did I forget to tell you I'm drinking a half a gallon of vodka a day? That part I forgot to tell you. I'm depressed. Well, of course you're depressed. You're drinking a half a gallon of vodka a day. All right? Helping others, working with others. I want you to put in the side, WWO, of that paragraph. Put on the side, WWO. That means working with others. Working with others, bringing people through the steps, is imperative to staying sober. And it's going to tell you time and time and time again in the big book. Watch this. Continue on. I want you to go down about three lines down from where we just ended reading. Go about three lines down. And it says, he, Bill Wilson, suddenly realized that in order to save himself, in order to save his life, in order for him not to drink, he must carry this message to another alcoholic. I can't tell you how many times that I just felt so bad. I just lost my mother. And the first thing I did, I went from her funeral to an AA meeting. And I just didn't sit there in that AA meeting. I saw a newcomer. And I walked up to that newcomer. It was in New Jersey. I don't even live in New Jersey. I walked up to that newcomer and I sat down. I said, how you doing? He's shaking like a leaf, like this. Well, I guess maybe it wasn't a good question to ask. But he was doing terribly. And I sat there and I worked with him. I gave him motivation. I gave him encouragement. He didn't know who I was. He just knew I was another drunk trying to help him out. Did I snap out of it? I snapped out of it just like that. And I thanked my wonderful mother for a beautiful life. And I'm glad that she's out of pain. Do you see how this works? It's not like I lose my mother and I lost my mom. I'll go out and drink. What is that going to do? It's not going to do nothing, right? Because I have God and I have the fellowship together. That's the important part that we're missing here. Okay? I want everybody to go down to the last sentence on page XVI. The last sentence on page XVI where we were at. And it starts off with the word, this seemed to prove. This seemed to prove that one alcoholic could affect another as no non-alcoholic could. It also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. That's the first place. Okay? Strenuous work, one alcoholic with another. Do you know what that means? I've been on the road in America for 2 weeks. Totally exhausted. I speak like this to bigger crowds in the financial markets around the United States. And I get off this airplane. I don't even know where I was coming in from. I was coming in from somewhere. It seemed like a million miles away. And the next day I wake up and I come here. And I come here so that I could be with you to show you the original message of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is strenuous work. Now, it's not one alcoholic with another. It's one alcoholic with 200 others. But do you see what I mean? This is where I will go. This is the length I will go to have freedom. Not just sobriety. Sobriety is not the problem for me anymore. It's the freedom of life. It's to be able to get into the flow and be happy and love and have fun. I always tell my wife, I am the whipped cream on top of the cherries. I love this life. This life. Sometimes I'll be driving down the road and I'll see something beautiful and I'll just start crying. Because it's so over, this happiness sometimes is just so overwhelming to me. It is. That's my truth and I'm sticking with it. All right. Now, I want you to watch this, okay? I want you to turn to page XVIII. I'm going to show you some numbers real here. These are staggering. Our birthday is June 10th. 1935. Okay? Follow me? The big book came out April 1939. So how long is that? 3 years, what, April, May, June, July, 3 years, 9 months, let's say, 3 years, 9 months, 3.9 years, okay? 100 people got sober during that time. It was all by word of mouth, okay? 100 people got sober. I want you to check this out. When the big book came out, I want you to go to page XVII and go to the last sentence from the top of the page in that paragraph. It's not actually a new paragraph. It just go from the top to the bottom of that paragraph. And it says, by the end of 1939, an estimated 800 alcoholics got sober. So the big book came out in April of 1939. They're saying by the end of 1939, which is December, 800 people got sober. In 7 months, when this big book came out, or the blue book as you call it, the answer, the solution was put in writing. 800 people got sober. It took 3 years and 7 months to only get 100. What does that tell you about the power of the big book? It tells you the answers are there. So why are we not using it? Because people aren't teaching. I wish I had 20,000 people in here. And maybe someday I will speak in front of 20,000 people. I actually believe that I will. Because this message is now, people are sick and tired of relapsing. They're sick and tired of dying. Are you sick and tired? And we spoke today. You're tired of it, right? We're tired of it. I came in here once. And it sure ain't because I'm prettier than you all, because you all are gorgeous. And it's definitely not that I'm smarter, because I am not a rocket scientist. It's because I had a sponsor who showed me this way, and I have never wavered in 13 years from this way. That's all. I want you to go down. It's the first paragraph on XVIII. If you go down about five sentences, it says, by March 1941. Okay? So now we're at March 1941, so this is December 1939, to March 1941, 2,000 people are now sober. What does that tell you about the big book? Pretty powerful book, isn't it? 3 years and 7 months, one. A little over a year and a half, 2,000, after the book comes out. All right? Those are numbers. I'm a math guy. I love numbers. Okay? I want everybody to turn to page XX. Page XX. You want to see a number? I want you to check this out. Check this out. From the top of the page, I want you to count down four lines. From the top of the page on page XX, I want you to count down four lines. It starts off with this, and highlight it. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, look at this. 50% sobered up at once. 50% sobered up at once. Let's continue reading on. And the remaining, and remain that way, 25% sobered up after some relapses. 25%. Now, being the mathematician that I say I am, that's a 75% sobriety rate. Folks, what happened? We watered down the message. We were telling people, don't drink. Heck, if I could just not drink, you think I'd be here in Copenhagen? Well, I'd probably be here in Copenhagen because this is a beautiful place. But, I mean, do you think I'd be in AA? I just wouldn't drink. It's not that simple. Don't drink. Go to meetings. Don't drink. Work the steps, help others work the steps, then go to meetings because you have something to give. They wouldn't let you in a meeting in the beginning unless you work the steps because you have nothing to give. You can't give away what you do not have. Okay? 75% sobered up at once. That's huge, isn't it? Big number? All right. I want you to go forward to the third edition. Forward to the third edition. I want you to go down to the last paragraph in the third sentence. It says, and this is where we got this. There are some places in the big book where there are some sayings. And the saying is this. Each day, somewhere in the world, Recovery begins. One alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. What I am teaching you here today is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. At 9 o'clock tonight, if I'm still awake, I will be sharing my experience, strength, and hope with you. Okay? And my story is just wild and off the hook. My wife is going to share with you also from 8 to 9 o'clock with her experience. Because I want to tell you this. When I met her, she couldn't look anyone in the eye. She just wanted to be in a computer room with no windows. And I supplied her with that. We had a very large company. And I put her in a room. And it was dark and it was whatever. Now, with this company we have, she's got a yellow office with all the windows. Right? And she's the customer service agent for 18,000 clients. She loves talking to people. From the steps that we all started here, it's good for everybody. The steps are good for everybody. I gave you a little history. Now we're going to plow through the steps. And we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. For all of you that smoke, and it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably the whole room here. We're going to go outside and have a smoke break. Can you come back in 10 minutes? Okay? Good? Good.